I didn't have the opportunity to be at the goodbye party for Jenny Levy. So I just want to say, if I would have been there and I would have been asked to speak, so I just want to say a few words. What I would, I feel.
Were you on there that day?
I wasn't there that day. I feel it's important. I think it was during the Ask OU program, so I was out.
That's right, it was.
So I mentioned that we've spoken about this in the Shir once, that there's a concept called Ma'ase Eschaveru, which means. Ma'ase eschavera means that you cause someone else to do a mitzvah. So concerning this, we find a contradiction in Chazal. One Chazal says, Godol ha-ma'ase yoyser min ha-oyse. If you cause someone to do a mitzvah, you get more reward than the person who does the mitzvah. The other Chazal says, that if you cause someone to do a mitzvah, it says if you did it. So if means you get equal reward. So which one is it? You get more reward or you get equal reward? So my Rebbe, Rav Agoyin, Rav David Kronglass Itzal from Yeshiva, the Mashgiach and Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, so he answers that it depends. For example, we gave a marshal with benching. Let's say there are two ways that you can get someone to do a mitzvah. One is, let's say, a non-religious person, and you're makariv the person, and you spend days and weeks telling them about the Torah and mitzvahs, and hakoras hatov, appreciation, you get food from Hashem, so you have to thank Hashem, and finally you convince the person to bench. Then there's another situation where you're eating at a table with someone who washed, and you notice the person ends eating, and they forget to bench. They get up from the table, and you say to them, remember, don't forget to bench. You say four words, don't forget to bench. So, and the person says, oh, thanks for reminding me, I would have forgotten to bench. So in both cases, you're causing the other person to bench. But there's a big difference. In the case where you spent days, weeks, months, years could be to mashpia, to influence somebody, so the benching that person does, that you get the majority of the credit because you put so much effort into it. When you just remind somebody to bench, so it's considered as if you benched also. That's the difference. Godol hama'asa. If you cause someone to bench, that means you put in so much effort to convince the person to start benching, then you get even more reward than the person who did it. But if you just say four words, don't forget to bench, and the person benches because of you, then just for saying those four words, you get equal. You don't get more, because the person wants to bench, they just forgot, but you get equal. That's how he answered. And he said a very beautiful idea. The Gemara learns this out from a pasuk. How do you know that if I cause you to do a mitzvah, I get equal schar? We learn it from Moshe and Aaron. Because Hashem told Moshe, take the stick with which you hit the Nile River. So the Gemara says, but Moshe did not hit the Nile River because Moshe had appreciation. You have to have a koras hatov appreciation, not just to a person. You have to have appreciation to a thing, to an inanimate object, to the river. The river saved his life. He was put in there as a baby. So if he would hit it, that is like showing gratitude. You're not showing a koras hatov to the river. So he didn't hit the river. Aaron hit the river. So the Chazal say that God, that kol ha-ma'ase eschaveru l'dvar mitzvah ki'ilu aso. Since Moshe told Aaron, Hashem wants you to hit the river for makas dam, for example, so, and Aaron did it, so it's considered as if Moshe did it. So Moshe caused Aaron to do the mitzvah. But what kind of cause was it? Was it convincing him, or was just telling him something? He didn't have to convince. The second Aaron heard that Hashem wants him to hit the river, he ran to do the mitzvah. But Moshe was the one who said, Hashem wants you to do it. For those few words, Moshe got tzchar as if he hit the river. And so it comes out very good. The source, the makor in the Torah, that kol ha'ma'aseh chaveiro l'dvar mitzvah ki'ilu aso, it's like you did it, that's a case where Moshe did not have to convince Aaron. He just told him a few words, and Aaron ran to do it. So that's what my Rebbe said. So the tribute that I wanted to give Jenny Levy was that when it came to focusing specifically on our shir, she was the one. She didn't just remind you, or she demanded. She wanted to have a shir every week, and there were times where it was very hard to get a shir. No, we have to have a shir. So she was Gadol HaMa'aseh Yoser Min Aseh. She was causing the shir to take place, and she gets for that more reward than the person giving the shir. So that is my compliment to her, and we wish her very well in her future life in Lakewood. We're sorry that she's not at the OU. And now we'll go to the main topic of the shir. The main topic of the shir is we're standing right during the Aseres Metshuva, right before Yom HaGadol V'Anoira, the great day of the year, Yom HaKippurim. And I'm going to share with you some thoughts that I've heard from various speakers over the last few days that were ma'orer me, and perhaps they will ma'orer yourself as well. So I heard a drasha from Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin Shlita in Muncie, and he says that there was an argument between the Chafetz Chaim and the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Radin. And I think he said his name was Mashovsky. I'm not sure the exact name of the Rosh Yeshiva. The machlokas was, is it easy to do tshuva or is it hard to do tshuva? The Chafetz Chaim felt that it's easy to do tshuva. And his proof was from a pasuk that we had in last week's parsha, Parshas Hazinu, where it says in the Torah that lo bashamayim hi velo me'ever hayam, ki karayv elecha hadavar beficha ubulvavcha la'asaysay. So there's a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. What is this pasuk referring to? Rashi says it's going on learning Torah, and the Ramban says it's going on tshuva. And let's focus on tshuva, the Ramban's pshat. Tshuva is, the pasuk says, it's not in the heaven, and it's not across the ocean. It's very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you see from this pasuk, it seems to be, it's an easy thing. The Rosh Yeshiva of Radin said, but look around. Do people change? Do they do tshuva? It sounds easy, but the fact is, it's not so easy. So I heard Rabbi Bodenheimer in Muncie said over from Rabbi Waxman, who said it over in the name of a Gadol. I don't know who the Gadol was. He said that, you know, when you have what's called a hava mina. Hava mina means my first thought. Then I have a maskana, means my end thought. So listen to what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying, lo bashamayim, it's not in heaven. Lo me'ever hayam, it's not across the ocean, but it's very close to you. How can you have, you can make a mistake, this table that we're sitting in front. So we could say, how long is it? Maybe it's 10 feet, and I'll say, oh, maybe it's 12 feet. You can make such a mistake, but how could you say, tshuva, it's not up in the heaven, which is maybe millions of miles away. No, it's not Ever Hayam, it's not 20,000 miles away. It's close right where? In your mouth and in your heart. So in other words, don't think it's so far, it's really close. You know, how usually a person doesn't make a mistake between a thing that's very close that he should think, oh, it's very far away. How can we get from the hava minim, means the initial thought, it's far away, and then we come to the conclusion, no, it's close. How does that work? It's very strange. So the answer is, in physical matter, you're right. But we're talking about a spiritual matter. And the truth is that it is very far. But if a person davens to Hashem, give me siyata dishmaya, give me your help, with Hashem's help, it's very close. That's the answer. It's not that the person's making a mistake that he thinks it's far and it's really close. The truth is, it is far. The Chazal say that the Yetzirah, every single day, when you wake up in the morning, the Yetzirah, he already woke up an hour before you. He's already planning his strategies. If every single day he doesn't go on vacation, you might go on vacation, he doesn't go on vacation. So the Gemara says that if not for Hashem, we had no chance. So the only way that we can fight the Yetzirah is through the Torah. The Torah is the medicine for the Yetzirah, and through davening to Hashem that we have siyata d'shmaya. With siyata d'shmaya, with the help of Hashem, then the thing that is actually far becomes close. So I was zocha, as I think you know, during this past week, that my granddaughter became a kala. My first grandchild. I am joining a small group here in the OU that has that. I hope many more people will join the group. So I was thinking, you know, people, you know, the shidduch was made, finalized right after Rosh Hashanah. The first thing, so you know, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din. Everybody is nervous about what they're going to get for the next year. And right away, we start with a joyous, you know. So some people said, you know, we have simonim at the, well, we eat at the Seder, on Rosh Hashanah at night. So it's like a Seder. But the idea is that you eat something that has a good sign, like carrots. Why do we eat carrots? Because carrots in Yiddish is merit. So merin means more, that we should have a lot of schusim in the year to come. So we eat things that are a simon, a good sign for good things in the year to come. So somebody said a good sign for the year to come is you start with a simcha. That's a good sign, mitzvah Hashem, for the year to come. But I was thinking that really getting engaged to get married, that's part of the tshuva process. And the proof I have is that by Yehuda, after Yosef was sold, and Yehuda at that time was the head of the brothers. He was like the melech of the brothers. So after Yosef was sold and their father went into like a depression, the Shechina left Yaakov. He was sad. He lost his son. And the Shechina, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, can only reside in a person who is besimcha. So for 22 years, he lost his son, and he thought he had died, and the Shechina didn't come to Yaakov for 22 years. So the brothers said, you know whose fault this is? Yehuda. Because you were the leader, and like they say, the Lahavdil Elf Havdalos, they say President Obama is blaming that the intelligence didn't know about ISIS. This person didn't know, and that person, so people are saying, it's not, he used the word they underestimated the power of ISIS. And people are saying to him, it's not they, it's I. We didn't know. The buck stops here. You're the president. So so people are criticizing him, especially that he doesn't attend 100% of the meetings on the intelligence. He only attended 42.6% of the meetings, something to that effect, under 50% of the intelligent meetings. So you don't get too intelligent if you don't attend meetings. So the buck stops here. So the brothers said to Yehuda, you were the leader. The buck stops by you. It's your fault. So Yehuda took it to heart. And he said, you're right, I have to do tshuva. What was the first thing that he did when he did tshuva? He went to get married. He started for the first mitzvah in the Torah is puruvu, to get married, have children. So he said, I have to do tshuva. I have to start from the beginning of the Taryag mitzvahs. And therefore, his first thing, it says, Vayered Yehuda, Me'es Echav, Yehuda went down from his brothers. They lowered him down. They said, you can't be the leader because because your fault, you didn't tell us to stop. And he said, you're right, I have to do tshuva, I have to repent. He started with getting married. So getting married has a lot to do with it. So I was thinking that just like we said, that tshuva is really far away. But with siyata d'shmaya, it's close. The same thing is when a person makes a shidduch. The brother of the kala, two brothers, spent the summers in Australia, where I have a brother-in-law who's the Rosh Kol, Rabbi Binyamin Wurzberger Shlita. So, you know, I was thinking, who knows where this shidduch for my granddaughter is going to come from? It could come from New Zealand, from Australia. Who knows? But, just like we said, tshuva is really far away. But with siyata d'shmaya, it's close. The same thing over here. When I got engaged, so people were speaking and they said, this person made the shidduch, and the other person said, this person made the shidduch. Rav Schwab got up, Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzal, and it was Parshas Chayei Sora, and in the Parsha were the following words, Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar. This is when Eliezer got a Rivka wife for Yitzchak. So Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar, not this one, not this, came from Hashem. So it's Siyata d'Shmaya, instead of going to Australia for a shidduch, she got a shidduch, my granddaughter, with a boy who lives a few blocks away. Ki karayv elecha hadover. The thing is, instead of being be'evra hayam, it was close by.
Is that in Lakewood?
In Lakewood. No, I'm saying, I was thinking, where's the shidduch going to come? Oh. It could, who knows, maybe my nephews who are in Australia will have a boy for their sister, and the shidduch will be me'evra hayam. No, it was Korav Elecha Hadavar, Siyata d'Shmaya. It was right nearby. Okay, now Rav Sirotskin said why, in fact, he was trying to analyze why, in fact, is it so hard to do tshuva, and we need the Siyata d'Shmaya to make it close, as we said. But why is it so hard? So he brought a Rambam. The Rambam says, "Afal pi shetkiya shayfer barosh shana gezeres hakasev." Even though tkiya shayfer on Rosh Hashanah is okay.
I spoke speech for you, but you didn't answer.
Okay, we're on tape now.
Oh, now I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call you back.
I'll call you back later. I had called her when you started.
Okay. So we're doing the Shir Ili Nishmas Yisroel Meir Ben Avram Zechariah Zitzal, who's the third yahrzeit, was yesterday on Vav Tishrei. The Shir should be a Schus Ili Nishmasai. So the Rambam says, even though Tkiyah Shayfer on Rosh Hashanah is a Gzeres HaKosev, means the Torah said you have to blow. We don't have to go into reasons, but Remez Yeshboy, there is a hint in it. Kloimar, Uru Yesheinu Mishinaschem, wake up, you are sleeping from your sleep. Vinir Damim, and those of you are in a deep slumber. Hakitsu, get up, mitar demaschem, from your deep slumber. V'chipsu masechem, check your actions. V'chizru b'tshuva, return with tshuva. V'zichru barachem, remember Hashem who created you. Eilu hashoichem esahemes, that's people who forget the truth, b'havle azman, in the vanities, in the empty things of which are during the time in this world. V'shoigim kol shenasim behavu v'rik, they waste all their years in empty things. Asher lo yoyil v'lo yatzil, it won't help them in any way. He bitu l'nav shesechem, look at your neshama, v'heitivu darkeichem, improve your ways. V'yazu kol echem chem darker haro, makshavta asher lo taiva. And each of you should repent from your ways. So the question is, what do you mean? We don't sleep 24 hours a day. We sleep at night 5 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever we sleep. Why do we say wake up people who are sleeping? The answer is that Rabbi Sorotzkin said, you know, there's people who sleepwalk. They while they're sleeping, they walk around. And the only thing that they're missing is their mind. They might even not remember that they were sleepwalking until they find themselves in a different part of the house when they wake up. They sleepwalk. So that what we do a whole year, all our mitzvahs, we do them rote. He says the biggest problem to change is because we do what Yeshaya Navi calls mitzvahs anasha melumada, which means mitzvahs that we do by rote. Even he said, when there was a war in Gaza we had just now, so people say Shira Malas. We know there's a war, there's tension, there's killings, and there's tragedy, so we push a button, it's the time for Shira Malas button. We do that, that's we're programmed. You know, so the Gedolim said we should do three Parakim of Tillim. Other people only do two. Other do only one. You know, it's part of the programming. Whatever you're programmed. In other words, he said people, every person finds a way in life to be comfortable, and you make your lifestyle what. How you feel comfortably about things. Things that make you uncomfortable, you stay away from. So he said, even our mitzvahs, we do it with our davening is not with a bren, with lebedikait. It's and he said one of the problems is we don't know what we're saying. If you had a daven in French or Chinese, you'd get pretty bored also. You don't know a word that you're saying. So it's very helpful that people should have, if you have a machzer on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a sitter, which has English translation. I personally find I think it's called Mitzudos, Rabbi Davis, I forgot what it's called. They're brown machzerim, and each phrase has right next to it the phrase in English. Because by art scroll, You have to figure out which phrase goes through. Here, every single phrase right next to you have the English. You don't know what a word means. You glance right away over. You have the meaning. So then when you're saying things and you know what you're saying, so you daven with more his iris. He said a tremendous story from the Satmar Rav. The one Purim, in Satmar, somebody got up, and he started imitating the way the Satmar Rav davened. The Satmar Rav, his davening, not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a whole year, he would scream, he would cry, he would bang his hands together. His davening was something incredible. So this funny guy on Purim, he copied the Rebbe perfectly. He clapped at the right point. He screamed. He cried. Mamish, exactly, exact duplication of the Rebbe. Everyone in Satmar was cracking up. There was only one person who was crying, and that was the Satmar Rav. So after a while, the Hasidim saw the Rebbe's crying. Tears are coming out of his eyes. They went over to the guy and said, "Stop, the Rebbe's crying." Then somebody went over to the Rebbe and he said, you know, he's sorry that he was imitating. They understood the Rebbe was crying because it was like making fun of the Rebbe. A little chutzpahdik, even though it's Purim, but they were mimicking the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, "That's not why I'm crying. Yeah, that's Purim, no problem. Yeah. I'm crying because I realized that I can be imitated the way I cry, the way I daven, perfectly, exactly the way I do it." So I thought to myself, maybe when I daven myself, maybe I'm imitating myself. In other words, one time maybe I really davened well. The other times I'm just going through the rote and I'm screaming and crying and clapping my hands, imitating the real good davening that I made. If he could do it, then I could do it also. So we see, it's a beautiful thought, we see that this, even the Satmar Rav was worried that his Avodas Hashem, his holy Avodas Hashem, maybe was only an imitation of who? Of himself. So that's how far we can do things, and we do them out of rote. What's the antidote? What's the cure for doing things out of rote? The cure is hischatchus, new. Anything you do, do something new. You say one parak of Tehillim every day. Say two parakim. You spend 5 minutes to do a chesed for someone else, spend 10 minutes. Anything new that you do, that makes your Avodas Hashem with more enthusiasm. He says he thinks that might be one of the reasons why we add on the Aseres Mechuvah, actually from Rosh Chodesh El, 40 days, we add a mizmor at the end of davening. He says if a Gentile would walk into shul, he would wonder, you know, the davening is going along regular. All of a sudden, right at the end, everybody screams out, "L'David Hashem, Oyri V'Yishi." In any shul you go to, so there's a sudden surge of energy right at the end of, maybe some people are happy they're at the end of davening, maybe that's right. But he said the idea is because it's new. Since it's new, you have enthusiasm. So he says, but maybe the lesson is that the way you react to the new mizmor of L'David Hashem Oyri, that's how really that should transform your whole davening. The message is not for L'David Hashem. The message is the way I say L'David Hashem with more kavana, with enthusiasm, that's how you should do your whole davening. So this idea is one way to change. If a person wants to change, so whatever you do, you should do with more enthusiasm. Now, we're speaking about change. There's an interesting halacha, and that is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that people should do things during the Aseres Mechuvah that they don't do the rest of the year. And even if they're not going to continue doing it after Yom Kippur. And everybody, for example, paspalter. Paspalter is bread made, let's say, what's that bread called? Fryhoffers? Fryhoffer, it's made by Chof K. It's a bread, it's made by a Goyish company. So there are people who are machmer a whole year to eat only Pas Yisrael, made by a frum Jewish company. Or some people, even if they eat regular bakery bread during the week, on Shabbos, you should have challis, you should have baked by a frum Jew. Your own challis is preferable, if not from a kosher bakery. But there are people who are mekel during the week, they will eat non-Jewish bread. It has a hechsher on it. We're not worried, not that it's not kosher, but the fire was lit by a goy. And during the Aseres Mechuvah, the OU probably has also.
I just
During the Aseres Mechuvah, you should be machmer to eat Pas Yisrael. So the question is, it's like a little hypocritical. Like even if you know that after Yom Kippur you're going to go back and eat Pas the Goyish bread. So what's the idea of this? So someone told me over yesterday in Muncie, Rav Don Segel Shlita, he's a big tzaddik, he spoke there, and he said the idea is as following, based on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Afal pi shahatshuva v'atzaka yofel oilam, it's always good to daven and to scream out to Hashem, but ba'asara hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yayim ha-kippurim, but the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it is beautiful to do tshuva and to scream out to Hashem. And Hashem, you don't have to wait. Immediately a person davens and does tshuva during the Aseres Mechuvah, it's accepted by Hashem right away. There's no waiting time. Shenemar, Dirshu Hashem, bihi matzai. Search out Hashem when you could find him. Hashem comes down, kaviyachol, from Shamayim. He comes down to our world, and he's close to us. People feel it. You feel, during that Seis Mitzvah, you feel a closeness to Hashem you don't feel the rest of the year. When you're close to Hashem, that's when is the appropriate time. Even though it's good a whole year, but during these 10 days, it's the easiest to get tshuva, get a kapora from Hashem. So in other words, during these 10 days, we're like, said Rav Segal, we're walking into the palace of the king. When you go into the palace of the king, you don't act the same way that you act at home. Now, things that you would do at home, you would never. You're going, even the White House. You go to the White, unless you barge in past the past the Secret Service. But I'm saying, if you invited into a meal at the White House, a kosher meal, a OU kosher meal, you go in. So you, the way you're dressed, the way you're acting, it's different. So that's the idea. The idea is, during these 10 days, we're so close to Hashem, like we're in his palace. Memela, you want to act, during the year, maybe I would eat the goyish bread, the kosher goyish bread. But on the 10 days I'm in the palace of the king, I am going to act differently than I act the whole year round. I saw another very nice thought that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what we do is, on Rosh Hashanah, starting Rosh Hashanah, we don't even speak about tshuva in our davening. What do we speak about? Hashem being the melech, the king over the world. What it means that Hashem is the melech is, the first step in doing tshuva is that you negate yourself. I doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is you, Hashem. I negate my whole being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that explains, first of all, on Rosh Hashanah we start, V'anachnu koirim u'mishtachnu moedim. We bow down. There are women who don't bow down. My wife does bow down. They're different and hug him. But the idea, all men bow down. The idea of bowing down is that ourself, we, doesn't exist. It's all we. We bow down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our guf is, when we stand up, we're like something. When we prostrate ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we negate ourselves. And that's the idea also of the Chamisha Inuyim. On Yom Kippur, we don't wash ourselves, and we don't eat, and we don't drink. Again, our physical needs are negated. And we give ourselves up totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that schus, we hope that the Ribbono Shel Olam will forgive us and give us a good year. The shofar, what we don't speak to Hashem. What do we do with the shofar? The air, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas ruach haim. Hashem put into our being a life force of air, ruach haim, which the Targum says means our speech, which comes from our mind. All this Hashem blew into our nostrils. So when we blow the shofar, we're like saying to Hashem, that breath that you gave into us, that makes the essence of life, we're giving it up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is similar to the idea before. We're negating our whole being. The life force that you gave us through the breath that you blew into us, that's now we're blowing into the shofar. We're like giving it up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'm going to end with one thought that I heard. Somebody told me this idea in the name of Rabbi Waxman from Muncie. I don't know if it's Rabbi Waxman's own idea or the Sforum say it. Another reason, why do we say L'David Hashem Oiri at the end of davening on the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh El to Yom Kippur? At the end of L'David Hashem Oiri, the simple pshat is, L'David Hashem Oiri, he's my light on Rosh Hashanah, where I see Hashem clearly in the world, I understand what the world's all about, not about me, it's about Malchus Shemayim in the world. And Yishi, he's my Yeshua, he's my salvation, when? On Yom Kippur. And then it says further, Ki Yitzpineni B'sukkah B'yom Ra. Hashem protects me, he hides me in a sukkah on a bad day. So you have all the three Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That's why we say during these days, the Dover Hashem Ari. That's a simple pshat. But his thought, Rabbi Waxman, was, it says at the end of the David Hashem Ari, Lule Hemanti Lirois Betuv Hashem. Lule is Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, spelled backwards, Elul. So what's the idea here? It's a nice play on words. Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph is the same as Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, but there's something deeper here. What causes people not to improve themselves is the word lule. In other words, if not, a person says, if not for the fact that I don't have so much money, I'd give more tzedakah. But I don't have money, I can't give tzedakah. If not for the fact that I don't have time, I'd learn more. I do more chesed. I do more mitzvahs. The thing that's always stopping us is what we're missing, the negative. So we, during Elul, we have to get away from the lule, if not for. And what do we have to focus on? Lirois b'toiv Hashem. Lule amanti, lirois b'toiv Hashem. We have to count our blessings. We have to thank Hashem for the money He did give us, for the time He did give us, not what we don't have. We have to get rid of the lule. If you get rid of the lule, you can have a proper elul. How? Lirois b'toiv Hashem, to always see the good, all the blessings that Hashem showers upon us during the year, and give all that blessing to our Kaddish Baruch Hu in Avodas Hashem. And that's another way. With the theme of this talk today was change. How do we change? Hischachus. You have to do new things in your Avodas Hashem, and also focus on the good that Hashem gave to you. By focusing on the good, and we spoke about Siyata Rishmaya, tshuva looks like it's far away, it's hard. With Siyata Rishmaya, it's Kikarav Eilecha Adar, it's close. And through all this, may we all be zoicha to a year of simchas, and a year, a healthy year, and Geffen, Gesund, Parnassa, and nachas from children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren.